You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Code of conduct. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I put in extra work that just can't be found. Work. I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing. Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
God made me punch in inaccurate numbers.
Yeah.
My castle won't crumble.
Nah.
What I tackle will fumble.
Yeah.
I've been a leader when they ain't see it, but now my feet
is up.
According to me, royalty didn't end with King Tut.
Nah.
Crown on my head, clouds is at my legs.
Yeah.
Big says sky is the limit. I look down on the ledge.
The
I push the bar like I'm opening a cell. Hands in my cookie jar, you won't come out with a single nail.
You
I need
gone.
All of mine. The weight on my shoulders won't fit on a scale. What's a king to a giant?
What?
Well, Goliath fell. Even if we playing chess, dog, this king can't be checked. I make all my moves on the board, I invented my steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm a king, the blood of a ruler, I feel like Mansa Musa.
Mansa Musa.
Make your squad disappear like landing by the Bermuda.
Gone.
Triangle, look at it from my angle. I'm a king, the closest thing to being one of God's angels.
Yeah. I'm a king.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Crown.
I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing.
Dang.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
King.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct of the King podcast. I am your host, Shakespeare King. You are tuned into the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Picasso Pizza. Treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day, Picasso's. We are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online at PicassoPizza.net. What is going on? I'm excited, first of all. I just got to let y'all know, if you listen by pod or if you're watching on YouTube or on Twitter or wherever you're watching it, I just want y'all to know I'm excited tonight because I have somebody I'm actually a fan of, for real, for real.
Oh.
Miss Liv Moods is in the building. What is going on?
How are you? I'm so glad we could make this work. I have, you know, first of all, I have so much respect for you and everything that you do. And it is very rare that, well, let me put it this way, not rare, but you remember the people that support you unconditionally and are always giving positive vibes to your page. And you are definitely one of them. So I absolutely appreciate you, because most days of the week I'm getting roasted by trolls or taking somebody's BS or whatever it may be. So when you have those positive people that are just like unconditionally supportive, rooting for you, it does not go unnoticed, and it is definitely appreciated. So I am so happy to be here. I am honored to be here, and I'm excited to talk some football, talk some Bills with you. I can't wait. I've got a futures ticket on the Bills. Let me start by saying that. I'm not a Bills fan. I'm a Broncos fan. I know. Cue the sad
That's
music.
Okay.
It's a really tough time out here. But I do have the Bills to win it all this year. So I'm like secretly low-key a Bills fan as well.
Okay, well, I'm going to take all of that. Like everything you just said there, I'm going to just take it. So, because like I said, you're right. Ever since I found your content, it was like, oh, she's on it. She's on point. So I want to first, I tried to say congratulations a while ago too, when you joined Volume Sports.
Yeah.
Dope.
So
dope.
Awesome.
Like that's such a GOAT move. Like, I just think that's so dope. And
it's been
my
so
man Jordan
cool.
Boyer's there now too. So, you know, y'all got a good team.
Yes,
it
feels like every day. So they'll just kind of like send us a message and, hey, we're adding somebody new to the family tomorrow. Like, make sure you kind of hype it up or whatever. I never know who it's going to be. So I will tell you, when I first met Colin Cowherd in Vegas and we were just talking, and he was like, first of all, the coolest dude in person. Like, who you see on TV is who you get in person. It's not a facade. It is truly who he is. And we were talking through, and I remember them kind of insinuating this big NBA player was going to join. And we were just throwing names out there. They're like, he's got a great personality. He's a little crazy. You know, he's kind of one of those polarizing players where you either love him or you hate him. And of course it ended up being Draymond Green. But yeah, all of the athletes that we have on board at The Volume have been incredible. And again, it's those players that have really great personalities and can talk on camera, and Jordan's one of them. He's, you know, he's got fun stories to tell, and he kind of does have a little bit more of a mysterious side. Like, you kind of want to know more, but I think that's what makes his pod so special. So yeah, The Volume has been an absolute honor to be a part of and so great. And little old 23-year-old me being noticed by Colin Cowherd was like the coolest thing in the world to ever happen. So I am blessed and excited. I love it.
And you know what, when you say that about Colin, and we're not going to, I'm not going to talk about the volume all night, but like with Colin, that commercial that he did the one time where he's like in the laundromat and he's just like doing his rant, I really feel like that's Colin. So it's just, totally. It's funny that you say that. Yeah. He just goes.
Yes. As I was telling people, he's like, he's just got like that like proud dad side to him. So when I first met him, he was just talking about how excited he was to have me. And then he's just got that like dry, witty humor, like the comebacks that are just so quick. Like he's a really cool dude, and literally who he is on TV, that like very sharp personality, unapologetic, is totally who he is in real life. So I love working for someone that's just unapologetically themselves, because I feel like I try to be that mm-hmm. in my content and in my, you know, on social media, which is a tough thing to do in this industry. As you know, it's like there's new yeah. people, there's new faces, you feel like you kind of gotta follow the trends, but also stay true to you, you know, your roots mm-hmm. and who you are. So it's tough, but I think working for Colin has been a very great learning experience, and I have loved every second of it. I hope I do it for a long time, because it's been great. So.
Oh yeah, you're here to stay. But saying what you said as far as like, you know, being yourself, I know yep. I see your boots and I see everything. I want to give you a second to flex, because TCU is doing it.
Listen, I gotta tell you, you know, here's what people don't realize about me as a sports fan is I am not naive. Like I am not a naive sports fan. So I get all these mm-hmm. DMs all the time of people just saying like, oh, they're going to get mollywopped by Georgia, or, oh, it's, you know, they are screwed if they ever have to face yada, yada. I get it. You guys, listen, this is, I don't think people understand, TCU has 10,000 undergraduate students. So if mm-hmm. every person from TCU went to Austin, they would only fill 1/10 of that stadium. So we are right. a small school. Nobody expected this to start the season. We had a brand new head coach. This was not something that, like, I don't think any TCU fan or alumni like myself expected. So every game that we win, or, you know, college football playoff ranking that comes out, it's just excitement. Like, let us be excited. Also, I'm a freaking Broncos fan. So let me enjoy my Saturdays, because I'm definitely not enjoying my Sundays by any means. So I'm loving what the Frogs are doing. I think Max Duggan is a dog. We've got some serious talent on that team. I think more than that, though, they seem to have a really good culture on that team. Like, it is like mm-hmm. by any means necessary, we're getting this W, even if it's like you're pushing some limits and you're making people want to throw up, like that Baylor game, yeah. or just being a second half team in general is a very dangerous game to play, but they do it and they make it work and they keep their composure even when they're down at half. And so I love the culture of what they're doing. I'm actually headed to Dallas this weekend for the Big 12 championship game. So that'll be really fun. We have great seats. It's for my best friend's birthday. So I'm excited to be out there. I'm sure I'll have a lot of content flowing and I'll be going crazy, probably taking shots. You know the deal. I mean, that's just what it is to be a sports fan. Like I said, I don't get it in the NFL right now. So I'm happy my alma mater is at least doing something.
You know what, though? I say all the time, though, like, I really feel like we have the best type of job in the world. Like, we get to go totally. and cover our teams. We get to, like, totally. Just, like, you're a fan. You still have to do your work, but it's like, of you course. Just have the best job in the world. So absolutely. I completely get what you're saying. And I just wanted to give you a chance to get that off, because I know, you know, like, in the comments, like, in Buffalo, so we have UB. It's not really a big college football town.
Yeah.
But then you have fans of everywhere else. So, like, you have people totally. In the comments sometimes talking their stuff. And I'm like, no, let me let her get her TCU off. And listen, I love it. After every game, you go in. I love it.
I do. That. And that's the thing, is I always wait till the game's over. Because, like I said, I don't like to, like, everyone was, like, horns down. And I just let them talk their trash. Because I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, you're right. We don't like the Longhorns. It's a rivalry. It's always been one. But I didn't feel confident enough to, like, go online and start roasting Longhorn fans. Once the game was over, that's a different story, because I don't have anything to hold back. I'm ready to go. But I'm not the type of fan. I'm not going to say anything before this Big 12 championship game, because I don't know how it's going to be. K-State's a great team right now. So, I try to wait to talk my trash. But when the game is over, I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
How did you feel about that? The Michigan Ohio State, like, obviously that's what everybody was talking about over the weekend, and it was just. And I normally don't talk too much college. Don't worry, everybody in the comments. It's not going to be a college show, but I feel like this is the time of year where college talk like, it doesn't matter if you watch it all the time or not.
Right.
Like, this is the time of year. So how do you feel like that game is going to affect the rankings? How do you, you know, just in general, how do you see that playing out for everybody?
You know, I don't like to go this direction, but I do think that the college football playoffs and the AP polls are a little political, in my opinion. I think it has a lot to do with money. So I think a game like, you know, I was talking to a lot of people before that game even happened. And we were saying, you know, somebody's got to lose. Like, one of these two teams has to lose. They can't both win this game. And they're two really great football programs. They've had a great season so far, but somebody's taking an L. I don't think it's going to hurt them that much. I think they actually already released. I know TCU's at 3. I know USC is 4. So I would assume Georgia and Michigan are up there. So I think Ohio State dropped out, actually, which is crazy. It made me smile because I'm not a huge fan of Ohio State fans. I think they're like the Cowboys fans of college football. They're just obnoxious. It's like, just be quiet. You know, they're just crazy. Like, so they're 5. So they just dropped out of the playoff conversation. So, yeah, I think they should have dropped out. I mean, it's the same way that everyone talks about TCU doesn't win their games by enough points. Okay. Well, Michigan put it on them, so it should reflect that. And so to see them drop out, I do think USC is a great school, and I think that they're a great team right now and deserve to definitely be in the playoff conversation. But I was more coming at it from an emotional angle of not liking Ohio State fans.
Yeah.
No, I was happy to see Michigan do what they needed to do in that game. I was really happy.
It's just crazy to me, though, because like when you're like, they were 2-3. So like, it wasn't like Ohio State lost to a team that was like not ranked or 15 or something. So for them to fall so far, that was the shock for me. I mean, not far, totally. But they're 5.
Totally.
I just think that's the shock for me. But no, it was a great game up until the fourth quarter. You know, it was like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I'm with you. I feel like you said they're like Cowboys fans. I feel like they're like Patriots fans.
A good one too. Just obnoxious for no reason at all. Like, just,
and I get it. Y'all won a lot of championships before.
That's right.
But lately that ain't been you. Like, just,
you know what
just
it is
that.
For me. It's not even that your school's great. It's not even that like across the board you're a strong sports school. That's not even what it is. I will never forget when I met an Ohio State fan, because TCU actually played Ohio State in Dallas at the Cowboys Stadium. And I don't remember what it was for, but they played them. Must have been just one of those random games. It wasn't a conference game, whatever. So we played them, and I will never forget this. I went up to an Ohio State fan and I was like, "How do you like Ohio State?" And they were like, "The Ohio State." I was like, "I'm going to smack you in the face if you ever do that to me again." Like, are you kidding me? It was just one of those moments where I was like, "You did not just do that. You did not just correct me and say the Ohio." Like, I was so annoyed.
But I used to laugh like when they do that on like Monday Night Football, like when they introduce the players and everybody's like, I used to find it funny. But then when you meet somebody and they do it, and it's like, oh, you went to Ohio State, and it's like, you're
right. It's like, it's one thing to type that on Twitter. It's another for it to fly out of your mouth. Like, I could not believe what I was like. There's no way you just said that to me. Like, there's actually no way that in a normal conversation, not even about sports, you threw that in there. Like, so ever since then, I was just like, oh, that's what y'all are on. Like, I'm good on Ohio State fans. I don't need to meet anymore. I'm sure some of you are great, but that one encounter was enough for me. I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But that's why I said they remind me of like, I get Dallas, but I deal with AFC more. So for me, those Patriots fans are just like, you know, it's like they're still living on Tom Brady's excellence. And it's like, he's gone.
Move on.
He's just not even there. Yeah, like, get over
time
it.
To move on.
He's your ex. He's really your ex. Like, he's gone. So, but let's get into some NFL. I've been waiting to talk some NFL with you. Right now, one of the biggest conversations, obviously, for us in Buffalo, Josh Allen hasn't been playing as well lately. Could be because of his elbow injury, could be because of him being in his head or whatever. But what that does is he's thrown like, 6 interceptions in the last 4 games, or 7 interceptions in the last 4 games. That kind of took him out of that MVP conversation in my eyes. But totally. I just checked the odds on both FanDuel and DraftKings, and it looks like he's kind of back in the conversation a bit. Like, he still has some odds up there. Mahomes is the favorite for everybody who's wondering. Ooh,
and
right?
I think
he's the favorite.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet
now. That's where you're going with it?
I think so. You know what? Here's what I want to say. Let's not it's hard because of what we have seen from Josh Allen. The numbers don't lie. The interceptions don't lie. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it with our own two eyes. This isn't a matter of opinion. It's what we're seeing, right? Like, this is right. not a, oh, I don't like him, or, oh, he's not, he doesn't have the mentality that he needs. It's an interception being thrown. We can see it with our own two eyes. But let's not forget who he is and what he does. He is still Josh Allen. He is still, now where I start to get a little nervous is we don't normally see this sort of, I don't want to call it choking, but we don't normally see the pressure getting to him until playoffs. We're not there yet. So I'm sitting here going, one of two things could happen. This is not good. We are losing Josh Allen, or he's getting it out of his system early, which would be a really great thing. I think another thing about this Bills team right now that has been a struggle for me, because like I said, I'm following them like they're my own because I have money on them. So they technically are right now. They are my own. I've got the futures ticket. I think something that is a little bit of a concern, which is making us pay a little bit closer attention to Josh Allen. Like I said, you can't argue the interceptions. He's not playing as well as he has. I think one of the hard pieces to this Bills puzzle right now is that the defense has become less and less threatening since the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, it was a Super Bowl caliber defense, in my opinion, where Josh Allen could afford to make a few mistakes because that defense was so threatening and so powerful that he kind of had a little bit of wiggle room. I don't feel threatened by this Bills defense anymore. And the injuries obviously play a very large role in that. We know this. But you got to just take what's happening at face value and say the defense is no longer scary, which injuries is a huge, huge piece of that puzzle. Yeah. As a Broncos fan, I will tell you, I hate the Von Miller injury. I think it's like one of the worst things that could happen to this defense because Von Miller may not put up numbers every single weekend, but when you need him most, he is there. He is a game changer. He is a playmaker. He is very, very crucial to me for this Bills defense. So I think the injuries obviously play a massive role here, but I think that is part of the reason why there's more panic around Josh Allen, because normally, okay, if he makes some mistakes or he's not himself or he's got an elbow injury, whatever, our defense, Super Bowl caliber defense, it can handle it. We're not there anymore with this Bills team. So that is something that I do worry about. I will say something that makes me feel optimistic about what is happening with Josh Allen is there seems to be zero concern from Diggs. Diggs does not look fazed by what is happening with his quarterback. So to me, that is assuring. That is, if Diggs isn't worried, we shouldn't be worried, right? I mean, this is a guy that practices with Josh Allen, that knows what the locker room energy feels like, that knows what the mentality of the team feels like right now. If Diggs starts to act stressed, I'll start being stressed. But for now, I think that speaks volumes of the side of this Bills team and of Josh Allen that we don't see. That Diggs is still like, he's my guy. We're good. Like, we've got this taken care of. We're going to be fine. So that is reassuring to me. But I think more than anything, the defense is where I worry because it went from like A1 and it is just slowly not that anymore. And again, that's injury based for sure. You could make that argument, but I think that is why we're looking at Josh Allen with more of a microscope right now.
Well, I agree with you on the defense, and I'm going to touch on that. But like offensively, I think you're right. Like, I think, I think Diggs is going to have that confidence because he's Josh's guy too. Like, he's going to get those 12 targets single game.
So he's like,
he got confidence anyway. But he's always going to he's going to eat. But then I think the conversation that we're having in Buffalo, and I don't know how many people are having this nationally. Because obviously, like Good Morning Football and all these other national shows that I watch, I don't really hear this conversation. How much do you think? And I don't know how much you watched this last year. I know this year you got money on us, but last year we had the Cole Beasley, like the third down and automatic. We had Emmanuel Sanders, and it just seemed like other guys were stepping up outside of Diggs. And this year, I know everybody came into the season excited about Gabriel Davis, and I love him, but through 11 games right now, he has 33 receptions. He had one huge game against Pittsburgh. We haven't seen that consistently. Isaiah McKenzie, I think he's a good third or fourth option when your offense is clicking, but he's not somebody that you want to like really depend on to be the guy every week for you. Running game is better than it's been. But again, like we're missing certain key pieces that it just felt like, okay, if Diggs is covered, we got Beasley or we got – how big of a difference do you think it makes that the offense looks completely different than last year too?
I think it makes a difference for sure. I never like an offense that relies too much on one guy, because what happens if he gets hurt? What happens if defense is tough on him? I think the only person in the league right now, receiver wise, to me, that can be double, triple defended and still have a great game is Justin Jefferson. I think he's playing out of his effing mind right now. And I think even Diggs, like Diggs, sometimes if when the defense is tough on him, they try to make it impossible for him to have a good game. So I do think that would raise a if I'm in Buffalo and this is my home team and or your live moods and you've got a futures bet, it is a little concerning. But you could also kind of make the same case for this Chiefs team. I mean, I would say offensively, the only threatening offensive player is arguably the best tight end in the league, but it's Kelce. Now you take Kelce out of the equation. Is that really a threatening offense? Not really. No. I don't think so. And one thing I think that Josh Allen has that Patrick Mahomes doesn't is Josh Allen can move. He doesn't necessarily need a wide receiver to make a play. He can get there on his own. So I don't think it's a huge – I would say if he were in a league where you do have stacked rosters, I will tell you that, but I don't think any of those stacked rosters are posing the same kind of threat. I would say the Chiefs to me are the largest threat AFC wise. If I had to pick somebody against the Bills that is going to cause the biggest threat, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs are kind of in the same boat offensively. I think you remove Kelce from the equation and it's a completely different offense. I think the difference is we're seeing a little bit more consistency with Mahomes's arm versus Allen, but Allen's also can use his legs in a way that Mahomes can't. So I'm not massively concerned about that. It would definitely create a little bit less stress if there were some other guys, kind of like you were saying, Gabe Davis showing a little bit more consistency, but I'm not super stressed about it yet. Cause I don't think there's many other teams in this league that have many people to worry about, if that makes sense. Like I'm not seeing a ton of consistency across the board when it comes to offenses. So I'm not concerned yet. But
okay, so for the Bills though, you're not concerned, like even with Miami. I'm not personally, but Miami is currently first in the division. They're 8-3 as well, and they have two wide receivers, and they have like they just got Jeff Wilson. Like, how do you get Jeff Wilson like at the end of the season like this? And then you know, so like they're playing very well. So,
they are.
So you're not concerned at all about Miami?
Yeah, I am. Maybe a little. Yeah, no, they look, you know, and I don't like to hold, I think Tua's health is kind of like what I don't feel comfortable. Like habitually what we see with this Dolphins team is momentum building and then being ripped away because of an injury to Tua or something going on there. I think that, yeah, Miami looks pretty solid. Their defense just got an upgrade with Chubb. That is for sure. So they to me, yeah, I would. I will tell you, I don't want to freak anyone out, but I did have a dream that we had a Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl was between the Dolphins and the Vikings. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I didn't wake up to see the result either. I don't know who won it. Okay. I woke up before then, but I did have a very strange dream about that being a Super Bowl. So take that how you will. This Dolphins team does look good.
I can't do it, Liv. I can't do that. I can't take a Miami. It's bad enough that they beat us early in the season, I have to deal with that. But then it's like if they were to win a Super Bowl, it would or even you. Make it to the Super Bowl, I can't do it.
Listen, now, okay, we could have the same conversation we just had with taking Diggs out of the equation, taking Kelce out of the equation, take Hill out of the equation.
Waddle's a beast.
He is. But I to me, he poses less of a threat than Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is a monster. Yeah. I would make a case for Justin Jefferson right now. I'm just loving what he's doing. I think he's exciting. Tyreek Hill is a beast. He's a beast. Yeah. So but again, what my point being is we have these offenses, these great quarterbacks relying very heavily on one, two guys. Josh Allen, to me, standalone, can do more without an off this comment right here. Josh Allen can do more without weapons than these other QBs, in my opinion. You remove these weapons from these quarterbacks and it's a very different story. Whereas Josh Allen will still, he still figures it out. So I'm not worried about him yet. I didn't know about an elbow injury. I hadn't heard that. Is he still battling that?
Well, against the Jets, he was throwing it like fourth quarter. They kind of pulled it back and he had a UCL sprain and everybody was worried that he was going to miss time. He ended up wearing a brace. It looks like, honestly, it does look like he doesn't have the same zip and he's not throwing with the same confidence. So like that last throw to Diggs on Thanksgiving, everybody in Buffalo was just like, yes, that's Josh. Because we haven't seen that throw for a few weeks. So now, and this is the first week as well that he's practiced in full where he's not like limited. And I'm hearing that he might not play with the brace. So I'm thinking that maybe now he might be healthy. So I'm hoping that's the last injury.
You hear this a lot, that these are injuries that they have quietly had for a while and just have not said anything. And then when it's to the point where it's, okay, I truly cannot play, or I'm going to really, really have some serious issues here, then we see them on the injury report or we see them kind of talking about it. But sometimes, and I'm not making excuses for Josh Allen because I don't know the story and I don't know the situation on the extent of this injury, but there are some times where we see that these are injuries that they have been quietly battling for weeks before they actually said something. So does Josh Allen not look out of character? Would an injury explain some of what we've seen? For sure. I think so. Especially an elbow injury.
It was one of the things where like some doctors were thinking that he was going to miss like 4 weeks. It was like, it might be a tear. Like, you know, so this was right after the Jets game. So luckily he didn't miss any time, but like, is it still, it's, I can tell when he throws it, it's just not the same. So, like I said, hopefully this week when I'm practicing in full and him, you know, I hope that that's behind us now. Did you hear that Von did say that he's aiming for like 2 weeks to come back around the Jets game? He just announced it kind of like right before we went live here.
Who announced that?
Von Miller. So he's thinking that he's going to be back.
God
soon.
Bless. Okay, that's great. When I saw that knee get tweaked, I was like, no, please God. No, please God. Like, I will always be a Von Miller fan until the day I die. I just adore him. And I think if you're a part of Broncos country, you just love him. Like, you love him forever. That's just how it feels for me anyway. So, when they said they were carting him off, I was like, no, please. Like, we cannot have this again.
He's just like the best dude though. Like, I mean, like just overall his personality, his work ethic, his like everything about him, like it's hard to dislike him. Period.
It is very difficult to dislike him. I have like the most respect for him. To me, he's a lot like Bradley Chubb. Like, even though Bradley Chubb went somewhere else, I will support him no matter where he goes. It is without question. I think he is a great guy. So yeah, Von Miller, I'm very happy to hear that it wasn't as serious as I think most people feared. I just didn't know. I didn't know. I tend to look away from the screen when I see any sort of knee tweak. I don't do well with that. So I had my brother watch. My brother's like, it could either be like nothing or it's huge. And I was like, oh, I hate that. Yeah. I don't like hearing that.
That was exactly what it was.
It's nothing.
Everybody in Buffalo at the same time was holding their breath. We was just like,
worst. But
before we get into this game though, because we got another Thursday game.
Yep.
Before we get in, I wanted to add, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. I think he's the best receiver in the league. And all year I've been saying Diggs is the best in the league. And I still got love for my guy. But I feel like Justin Jefferson, not even quietly, like he said, no, this is my title this year. Why is it that we've gotten to a point where we don't even include beasts like that in the MVP conversation? Like, I get it. It's come to a quarterback award. But when you have somebody like Justin Jefferson that makes Kirk Cousins look like, you know what I mean? Like, he got Kirk looking like, I don't even know who I want to compare him to, but he looks great. Why isn't this guy's name being tossed around in that MVP conversation? Like, the Vikings are what, 9-2, 9-1?
Yep.
You got it. I don't know.
It blows my mind because I don't get it. And it's, I feel this way pretty universally about the MVP title. I think it's a bunch of bogus, to be honest with you, because we see it in the NBA. Everyone's like, wins matter. Most valuable player to me does not equate to wins. Whoever brings the most value to the team that they are on, that to me is what we're talking about here. But we tend to be pretty wishy-washy with this title, and I feel like it's been that way for some time now. MVP shouldn't just be quarterback. it really shouldn't. I think that it should be any player that is the most valuable player to their given team. Justin Jefferson right now is in X Games mode. I don't even know how to describe what we're seeing from him. Like, we are seeing, I'm seeing catches from this guy and plays from this guy that just like, I don't know. He to me is playing at a different caliber of football right now. And to your point, who his quarterback is makes it 10 times more impressive what he's doing right now. Dude, because
it's insane.
I mean, listen, love you, Kirk. Love the chains that you're rocking on the airplane. But listen, let's be real. Okay. Right. You're still Kirk Cousins. I love you to death, but you're still Kirk Cousins. And I don't have a ton of faith in you in most situations. But Jefferson, I mean, he will find a way. He is exceptional to me. So I don't know why we don't have the conversation more and we don't get outside. Cause I saw for a little bit that there were people that were trying to make a case for Tyreek Hill to be in the MVP conversation, which I think for a while there was fair. It was a fair conversation to have the way that he was playing. So you could also make the same, you know, I do think Tua is playing well, but I think at the time people were kind of having the same tone as you, like Tyreek's got Tua looking like, you know, better than he is. And so I think the MVP conversation should never be just about quarterbacks. I don't think it should ever be that, but I think we have just traditionally, we sit quarterbacks so high up on their throne of life, which fine. I'm not, I love the majority of the quarterbacks in this league. Maybe not my own right now, but that's fine. It is what it is. We'll talk about Russell Wilson a different day. I don't even know how much patience I have for that conversation, but we stick them so high up that I don't know if we'll ever have an MVP race where it's not quarterbacks. I think it's a pretty safe bet that it's going to be a quarter. I mean, historically that's what it has been, which to me is kind of crappy. I think they're, I mean, make a most valuable quarterback award and then make a, and then have another MVP award. But it does seem silly to me that guys like Jefferson are not like top five in MVP conversation right now. But again, I saw the sports books hanging on to Rodgers and Brady with the last thread. And I'm like, let it go. They're not good. They're not MVPs this year. Let it go. Like, you got to stop. But they weren't, like, it was almost cynical that we didn't have them in the conversation, that it was like we were hanging on to every last fiber of them being MVPs. Let's just face the facts. They're not MVPs. They're just not right now. And that it is what it is, but let's just move on. But yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why we care so much about it being a QB award, because it doesn't need to be. It definitely does. Yeah, you don't need to be a quarterback to be the most valuable. I think it's the job of a quarterback is naturally one of the most valuable jobs on a team. We have made that the most valuable position. So naturally the most valuable player should or needs to be a quarterback in the minds of many, but I don't think it needs to be. I think we can start switching it up. And I think Jefferson will be a great candidate this year to switch things up. He is nuts.
Listen, I'm a Bills fan, but even the game when he came to Buffalo and anyway, moving on. So let's talk about some Patriots. I have another guest joining me.
I can't talk about that much.
Yeah,
longer.
I don't. It was that hurt. It hurt. So I'm going to bring my brother in. But before I do, I want to shout out my man Buffalo Freddy, who still, I keep having to tell y'all every single week, he has the best barbecue in Western New York. Ooh. And if you don't believe me, I promise you, go try him. Go check him out. And if it's not, hit me up and I'll personally sell you the refund. That's how confident I am that it's that good. Yo, it's the best. If you ever come to Buffalo for a game, I'm going to make sure we get it to you, even if I'm there or not.
Perfect.
Like, it's happening. And then if you got any parties going on, y'all know he got the bounce houses. He got the chairs and tents and tables, not for you to jump through, but he got them all. So next spring and summer, hit up my man Dan Freddy at 716-4-FREDDY. That's 716-437-3339. And now it is time for my brother to join, and we are going to talk Bills Patriots this Thursday night on Amazon Prime. What is going on, Pat?
Oh, how's it going, man? I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm having a great time. And I got Liv in here kicking it with
me. Hi, Liv. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Good. Man, your conversation about Justin Jefferson was spot on, because if the Vikings didn't have Justin Jefferson on Thursday night, the Patriots would have won by 20. Like, he was the offense. Dalvin Cook had 22 carries for 42 yards. They did nothing outside of Justin Jefferson being just absolutely unhuman.
He's a beast.
He just was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a beast. And how dare they ask if he wanted to bite into that turkey leg with his girls in? I'm like, have some respect for this man. Are you guys insane? Do you not see his diamond teeth right now? He's not biting that.
That isn't happening.
Hey, like, I need to take my grills out. I need to take them out.
have some respect for this man.
I know, right?
It's 100% disrespect. But you know what? We don't have to get into this conversation, but a lot of times I'm noticing, especially now doing this job, like me and you, like I mentioned earlier, I'm recognizing that still, even though things are becoming a whole lot more diverse, people still don't quite understand the culture. And like I said, so that's not a conversation we have to have, but it's not as evident everywhere that people are like, oh, he got, you know, like,
I think people are scared to understand the culture. We're so sensitive now that you're scared to say the wrong thing or try to understand something that's not your place to understand. I think people are timid. It's a sad world. It really is. We could get into this. We'll have a whole nother like podcast on this one.
Right. I'll tell you right now, I look like the whitest man on the face of the planet. So maybe I shouldn't.
That's what she's saying. Or something. It's all good.
But see, that's what she's saying though. Like you're like, maybe I'm not the best one. But no,
No. Never, I know. No,
I
listen.
Know, but
I mean,
I'm saying it should never not be.
No,
like,
I know.
Able to participate.
I think too that like you're 100% right. I mean, it's so much of this, and I deal. You know, I'm a teacher, high school teacher, and you deal with this, like, and you see that, like, you don't have to understand it. Like I try to explain to people, like, you don't have to understand it. It's okay if you don't understand it, but like, listen to what people are saying, and you don't have to, like, you know, it doesn't have to be a battle. It's just, hey, listen up. Listen to what people are saying and respect what they're doing and try to learn from what they're doing. And then you can, you know, you don't have to understand what they're doing, but maybe you will over a period of time if you're actually listening and paying attention.
Totally.
I agree. Well, let's get here. Let's start here. So the spread on actually everywhere. I thought it might be different in different places, but the spread is 4.5 in favor of Buffalo for this Thursday night. It opened at 5.5. Now it's at 4.5. The over under is set at 43.5. So let's start with Liv and then we'll swing this to Pat. First of all, the over under, like, are we feeling that? Like, do we think that it's going to be under or over 43.5?
I want to say I this to me feels like a defense battle. I don't trust the Patriots offense. That's for sure. I mean, there's not a whole lot that they're doing. Listen, I've been calling him Mid Jones for a long time now. I just don't like Mac Jones. I mean, God bless him. Keep doing your thing. I think he's better suited for the XFL. I really do. I'm sorry. He just is not a National Football League quarterback to me. And I think we've got to stop trying to pretend he is, because he's just not. Same with Zach Wilson. Same with Baker Mayfield. Conversation for another time. But I don't have faith in Mac Jones, and I don't trust this Patriots offense to do what they need to do here. But this Patriots defense, I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. It is a pretty solid defense. And like you said, Pat, outside of Justin Jefferson, the Vikings offense wasn't doing a thing. I just think Justin Jefferson is superhuman. So that is why they were able to score any sort of points or get into the end zone at all. I love this Patriots defense. I think the Bills defense is good. Are they at their prime? No, they're not. I think injuries are to blame for that. But I do think that their defense is enough to slow down a very average offense to me. So if I'm going to start with the total, I'm going to lean under here.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Okay, where are you at with it, Pat? And then also address the Mac Jones comment. I know I saw your face.
If you're a fan of his, I'm so sorry.
Well, listen, I mean, I concur with the under. I mean, I just think, I think if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be hoping for the under because you're not winning a shootout against the Bills. So, right. Maybe you can win a 24-21 game and then that pushes you to the over, but that's 40. Right. That's 45. Like if, it's awfully close. So it's one of those ones for me that I'm betting the under. And also I always love, PMT and Big Cat always say bet the under on the primetime games, because if you win the under, it's great. And if the over hits, then you're watching an enjoyable game. It's a win on both sides. As far as the Mac stuff, listen, don't even put Mac Jones in the same conversation as Zach Wilson. God, Zach Wilson.
You're
is the
right.
Worst
I have a little more respect for him than Zach Wilson. You are right.
I think Mac has had his struggles this year. He played well last year. He played really well on Thursday night. I think that, that was a nice, kind of a nice turn around the corner. Now we'll see. We'll see if he can keep that going. But I was really happy to see the way he played. He's playing more confident. He hasn't turned the ball over in a few weeks now, which is great. They're still not making, big chunk plays. I think part of the offensive play calling sucks right now. They have some good plays, but they just feel like they're not in sync. They're not figuring things out. There's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. I like some of the play calls they have, and then they'll hit three good plays under center, play action, and then they are back in the shotgun and they go, and the next three plays are incompletions or runs up the middle for 0 yards. He doesn't really have a feel for the game yet.
He doesn't look comfortable.
No. And I think part of that is Matty P calling plays. Right. And totally. It's tough. We've definitely seen a regression from Mac Jones. I do think it's there. He's not sexy. He's not the sexy quarterback. And that's okay. You don't have to be the sexy quarterback. Right. You don't have to be. Not everyone's going to be Josh Allen. Not everyone's going to be, I think so it's funny because I go back and forth. Like, Kyler Murray stinks. He's a sexy stinks. He's terrible. So you start looking at Russell Wilson. Sorry,
Liv. Stinks. Terrible. Stinks. You don't have to tell me twice. I will shout it from the rooftops.
But so that's what I mean. So you look at it and say, hey, if it's going to be, if Mac's going to win, he's going to have to win like Brady does, not the way that Brady did. That's insane. But the way that Brady does, which is pre-snap and post-snap, and he wasn't doing that at the beginning of the year, and he's been doing a much better job of that now. So we'll see. He's got a long way to go. But last year, I was like, this is the guy. This year, I'm like, oh, maybe he's the guy, but maybe not. So we'll see. You know what I mean? There's a long way to go, And Brian's saying in the chat that Mac Jones isn't winning Super Bowl. And you may not be wrong. But Tom Brady, his first 3 years, no one thought he was winning any Super Bowls. And I know he won a Super Bowl his first year, but really, he didn't do anything. It was really his defense. So, you really look at that and say he developed into that quarterback. Mac is never going to be Tom Brady because no one's ever going to be Tom Brady, but he can be better than he is right now.
I think I'm one of those dudes that's actually higher on Mac than a lot of Patriots fans. Honest to God, I don't think he's playing the best ball of his. I think we'll see better from him coming. But I when I do see him, it's like he makes certain throws that only a handful of guys can make. He drops them in a bucket more often than not. And the thing is, I just don't think you have the right type of receivers out there. Right. When you have – I'm not, when I say this, this is, I'm not being a Bills fan and being a jerk this time, you know, but when you have Devontae Parker as like your probably best guy out there, or, you know, Hunter Henry, I don't think your tight ends are playing the best. I don't think, you know, now Ramondre Stevenson, yeah, you give him a weapon and you see what he does, right. But you need some receivers and tight ends that are consistent for him to throw to. But I think Mack is better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. That's just me. I don't know.
I will be honest with you. I am typically, and this is not a good thing. This is not, for someone that has never played the sport of football, I sure like to just be a know-it-all. And I know that. Listen, at least I can admit it. All right. But I will tell you that I think it is, this is where we were having that conversation about the quarterback position just being so, there's a lot of pressure. I think it's a lot easier to put the blame on Mac Jones than to really break down this Patriots offense and say, what's going on? What is the problem? It's easier to just look at him and say he's mid. He's not doing what he needs to do because he has shown some regression and he isn't the player that he was last season. And it's fair to say that statement. But if you really get down to the nitty gritty, I need to back off of Mac Jones. I do. And I know that. But I'm also a Broncos fan whose quarterback is absolutely crapping their pants. So I'm just a little hard on quarterbacks right now.
Hey, now, Liv, don't be
what
too...
happened with him. Go ahead, Pat.
Man, that man fell off a cliff. He fell off a cliff. It makes no sense. By the way, Liv, don't be too hard on yourself for not playing football. There's a lot of guys that play professional football that talk about football and have no idea what the hell they're talking about. That's so don't worry about that.
I am the type too on a Sunday to be watching Wilson and going, we paid him how much money? I'm pretty sure I could do that. Like, if I really set my mind to it, y'all.
I could do that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could have 10 passing yards in the first quarter.
You know,
forgive me, I think I could.
I think he's lost the team. I really do. Like, I just think
the team is gone.
I think that
the team is gone.
You know, that like the way his energy and stuff. Marshawn Lynch talking about how like he doesn't have his personal number. He'd have to call someone to call. Like, that's crazy. You can't treat guys like this. And especially
when he turns the camera on or he gets on Twitter, he wants everyone to think that he's this, you know, we are all one. I am part of Broncos country. Hey, guess what? Broncos country just wants you to win. Point blank, period. That's it. We don't care about the high knees on the airplane. We don't care about rejoice. Oh, God has my side. I love that you have a religion and that you're rejoicing on a Saturday. But guess what? We want a dub on a Sunday. That's it. Like, you know, a quarter of $1 billion, bro.
You know what, Liv? Come on. And I don't want to hear a prayer or read a prayer on Monday when you took that L. Like, get back in the gym, bro. Like,
correct.
Because I'm like you, I respect every religion. Jesus. I respect every personal belief. But look, Jesus ain't do it, man. Jesus did not hold this L for you.
It feels like it's all for show. It just feels like it's all for show. Like, he's this big theatrical performance. And it's like, that's not what you're getting paid to do.
Right.
You need to do your job. You're not doing your job. And guess what? When us normal people don't do our jobs at our 9 to 5, we get fired. That's it. That's how it works. And honestly, I think Pete Carroll's the largest finesser in the world, and he deserves an award for it because I think he saw this shiz coming and he said, he's all yours. Go ahead. We're good on this side. We've got Gino. He's about to go into West Virginia Mountaineer mode. We're good here. Don't even worry about it. And we got effing finessed is what we got. So,
well, what's funny about it is that, and you mentioned Carroll, like, he almost held it together. I feel like, you know, you see the importance of a good coaching staff. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett is just in over his head, man. You know, and he's, you got to assume he's going to get fired. He has no idea what he's doing. He just can't, like, he can't do it.
Brutal.
And even like, you know, when I don't know the defensive lineman's name, but the defensive lineman was in his face, screaming in his face, right next to Hackett. And Hackett's just standing there like nothing's going on. And it's like,
even
worse,
after the game, he said he was unaware. He's like, I was unaware of that situation. You should be aware to all of, like, tap in, buddy.
Right
there. We're right there.
Roses. Yeah, my, it's crazy. God.
But
anyway,
let's get back to the Patriots. Yeah, because I feel bad bashing. Like, this isn't even part of the conversation, and we're just like bashing this dude. So let's get back to it. Yo, Matthew Judon is playing like the defensive player of the year. I know we have a guy playing like one too. I think Matt Milano is in that conversation as well. But what the heck are the Bills going to do to stop Matt Judon, man? Like, this dude is playing lights out. He's leading the league in sacks with 13 right now. Yep. Deion Dawkins is probably not going to play with an ankle injury. So that's huge. Our left tackle is probably out. That's huge. Start with Pat and then Liv, take that home. I'm nervous about that. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Vikings did a really nice job. Judon had no sacks, wasn't really in the backfield much. The whole Patriots defensive line really wasn't in the backfield too much, to be completely honest with you. So it is surprising to me that they weren't able to get pressure against the Vikings. There's a possibility that the Bills can do the same thing. Like Deion Dawkins being out is going to be painful. But I think the biggest thing, and where he's won so often, is those big loops around that he takes when he takes on a guard or a center and just squeaks by, right? That's going to be big. The thing about the Bills, though, is that the Bills aren't a regular team. They got Josh Allen. So you can't just rush the passer. You have to be so cognizant of him running that it screws up your rushing lanes, right? So Josh Uche, on the other side, has been really good. He had a sack again Thursday night. He's had a sack, I think, in three straight games. He's got four sacks in three games, or maybe even five. I think he's got five sacks in three games because he had three sacks against the Colts that night. But anyways, he's doing really well on the outside. But the problem is that if you get inside and you let Josh Allen outside to the right or left side, you're screwed. And they've been talking about that all week because they've had problems with this now every time they play a mobile quarterback. Right. They've had problems with that. And, you know, Josh Allen, I mean, if he starts running on you, you're screwed. Right. And so that's going to be a big thing, I think, for the Bills, is that it's that they can't just pin their ears back and go get him. Right. Because they can't do that, because Josh Allen has the ability to, oh, there's a running lane. I'm going to step up into the running lane. I'm going to run outside. And all of a sudden I picked up 15, 20 yards because I'm going to outrun Jelani Tavai in the middle of the field trying to beat me to the corner. You know what I mean? So that's that stuff where I think the combination of Josh Allen, really, and, you know, there's some question marks about what happened on Thursday night. I don't know. Like, the Vikings offensive line is pretty good, but Christian Darrisaw wasn't even in there. So, like, you know, how come they weren't able to take advantage of that? So there's a possibility that they slow him down a little bit. You chip him with a tight end or a running back, and you're able to slow him down a bit. And if Uche can't get going on the other side, now you look at it and say, hey, Judon's a problem still. But if we commit two or three guys to him. J.J. Watt was always the best defensive lineman in the league, basically. He's had one career sack against the Patriots. One. Or I think actually a half a career sack against the Patriots, because the Patriots said, he's the best player, let's take him away. Go ahead. You want to beat us, someone else? Go ahead. And the Patriots weren't able to beat the Vikings with anyone else on Thursday night. Hopefully they'll be able to do that against the Bills. But you got to think, if you're the Bills, you're throwing extra guys there at Judon, because you can't. And again, Josh Allen's the guy. Josh Allen's going to have to, if he sees the running lane, take it. And then it slows those guys down to be thinking, okay, I can't go inside, because if I go inside, he's going to be able to take that outside. And I can't go too far outside, because he's going to be – so then they're thinking about, how am I going to get to the quarterback and how am I going to prevent him from getting outside?
That basically sounds like what Liv said earlier before you jumped on. We were talking about, you know, I had concern about – I feel like after Diggs, there's a drop-off with the production that we've been getting. And she's like, yeah, but Josh is like, he's killing it. So go ahead, Liv, kind of piggyback off of your thought earlier and then kind of, you know, answer the same thing. Like, I'm concerned about that defense, but maybe I'm overly concerned because I'm just a Bills fan and I'm nervous. I don't know, but – you know,
I think that this Patriots defense, like I said, is a great defense. And I think their priority will likely be, or maybe not priority, but something that they know that they will potentially get in this game, is a turnover by Josh Allen. We've seen it now way too often. And I think that they know that they have the ability to pressure Josh Allen enough to potentially cause a turnover in this game. So I will say, from a betting perspective, since I am the betting gal, I think my absolute favorite prop in this game is going to be Josh Allen's rushing yards, because I do think this defense is going to try to force a turnover, and it is going to force Josh Allen to use his legs. And I think that is one thing that Josh Allen has that, again, up against a good defense, I think he is capable to hit his yards. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's 42.5. I mean, he had 78 in the last game, the game before that, which was a little strange, but 84, 86, 49. Like, to me, 42.5 is a great number, especially against, like I said, a defense that is going to pressure him. They're seeing the way he turns the ball over. There is maybe a lingering or an injury that is maybe going to be babied a little bit. He may not be using his arm a ton in this game, knowing that the defense is as strong as it is. So I really like his rushing yards prop. So I don't know what their strategy is going to be, Pat. I know you talked a lot about kind of the defensive strategy. I don't know what that's going to be. All I know is I think Josh Allen is going to be forced to run the ball a lot and get mobile. So I think his prop is a good one in this game.
But see, even with that, like, so we're saying that, and my man Daryl brings up a good point, because Spencer Brown has been a liability on the right side. And now with Dawkins not possibly playing on the left side, so you got both your tackles potentially out, or one, like, one and a, you got a half a tackle playing this week, because Spencer's been a liability for real. So when you talk about being without your starting tackles, it's just I don't know how much confidence I have even in like the half blocks where they're chipping guys for Josh to get just that little bit of space to run in right. that lane. I just don't know how confident I am this week in that. Like, you know, so again, maybe it's just because I'm a Bills fan and it's just like every week now. And when we've been having these nail biters, and I'm like, can we get week one and week two back where we're blowing teams right. out?
Can we win comfortably?
Yeah, like, well, you know, like I'm tired of the Lions game. Like, really, three get. All due respect to the Lions and their fans, but 3 points on Thanksgiving against the Lions.
Listen, the Lions are good enough to lose by three to any team.
True.
You know, you're right. Just, you're right. You know, so, but
they're a hard team to bet because they are tough to figure out. I'll tell you, you don't know what you're going to get from them, but they put up a fight and they know how to score, which is like the weirdest thing ever.
It's strange, except it's against the Patriots. Strange. But, you know, it's one of those things for me that, like, I get where you're coming from, Spence. I understand. Like, I'd be nervous too if I'm in your position. I do think for me that these close games are actually a good thing for the Bills moving forward. If I'm a Bills fan, I'm looking at it saying they're battle tested, right? They are playing these games that are they're up, their backs are against the wall. They have to make plays. They're not up by 30 every game and just cruising to victories. Like, they're actually sweating games out, playing tough games in the fourth quarter, having to make big plays in big moments, and they're doing it right. And so, and they don't do it every week, of course, but they're doing it more often than not. And that gets you ready for what you're going to have to face in the playoffs, because you're not blowing anyone out in the playoffs. Like, maybe the seven seed you're blowing out in the playoffs, but you're not blowing anyone out in the playoffs. So, like, it's always going to be a tight game in the playoffs. And
wait a minute. We blew you out last year in the playoffs. I just got to throw that out there.
And I said, maybe the seven seed. So there you go.
He gave you a little nugget there.
I was just saying.
This is exactly what I brought up as a concern many, many, many weeks ago about this Eagles team. And everyone's like, oh, here goes Liv dogging on the best team in the league. And I said, I'm not dogging on the best team in the league, but look at the last half of their schedule. They're not battle tested at all. So what do you do as a team where the toughest offense and defense you're going to face is when it matters the most? I hate that. Like, as an Eagles fan, I would hate that. So I said it about the Eagles. We're now starting to see them get battle tested against teams that I don't think many of us expected them to be battle tested against. But again, when you're comfortably riding that wave that high and you're never really truly being battle tested, pushed, you know, challenged, whatever. Now you've got close. You're losing to the Commanders and you've got close games to the Colts. I mean, who would have thought that we'd be in that world? So I think being battle tested ahead of the playoffs is a great thing. I really do.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with both of y'all. I take it. Just trust me. I'm nervous. I'm not nervous to the sense where I feel like I don't think the Patriots are a better team than the Bills. As a Bills fan, like, I'm very confident in what we have. But I also feel like we've, again, gone up against teams that I felt like we should have dominated. Like, there's a couple games I can run off, like that Jets game. They have a good defense, so I'm not at all dogging the Jets. The Jets have a good defense, but we should have beat them. Like, just period. I don't see why we go into these games where, even Heather in the comments says that the Bills are banged up. True, but even when we're before the season started, that was one of the things that everybody across the country, every analyst, every podcaster, every content creator, every whoever you listen to or whoever you read, oh, the Bills have depth top to bottom. There are guys on the practice squad that are starters on other teams. Like, that's the way people were talking about the Bills, and now we're testing that. Like, we're testing that depth, and all of a sudden, like I said, we're winning against the Lions by 3 points. We're losing to the Jets by 3 points, and that's my problem. But I'm not about to go on a rant. The show is pretty much over here. So before we get out of here, I do want to I just want a prediction from Liv. Pat, I feel like I already know where you're going to go, but I'll get a quick prediction from you as well. But just get a prediction, and then I'll ask you both to kind of share your content that you have this week coming up, or if you have anything big that you want to share and highlight, and then we'll get on out of here. Liv?
Prediction for the game? Is that what you're talking?
Yeah.
So head to head between these two teams in the last five, the Bills have dominated. There's been one game in the last five that the Patriots have won. And when the Bills have won, they have won in a pretty big and significant way. In all but one game back in 2020, it was a 24-21 win. So
in Buffalo,
I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't love that number 4 or 4.5 because I could see this being a super close, like we're talking about here with this Bills team. Everything seems to be uncomfortable and close and never seems to be a comfortable win. Could see this being a field goal game. So because of where the number is and that number sitting where it's at, I do lean Patriots to cover that 4.5, and I don't love that. I would maybe do a double result here, have the Patriots covering 4.5, but having the Bills win outright, because I do think the Bills ultimately get the job done. But I just don't love the number at 4.5. That's all I'm going to say on that. I will say, though, if you are leaning Bills and you're like, I like them to win. They historically win in a big way, all but one game in the last, well, they lost one of them. So 3 of 5, they have won in a pretty big way. So do with that what you will, but I just don't love the number, especially the way this Bills team has been kind of keeping it down to the wire, keeping everyone on the edge of their seat. So I would lean with the Patriots to cover, but I like the Bills to win the game.
For sure. Pat, where are you going at?
I mean, I feel the same way. I obviously want to see the Patriots win, but like, it's just one of those things that the Bills are just, they're a far superior team to the Patriots. They just are. They're better. You know, I think the Patriots defense is better, but like the Patriots offense against the Bills, it's not even close. It's not even close. And so, you know, it's going to be a matter of, can they keep it close? I think the Patriots, I think by playing well in this game, the Patriots can give themselves momentum moving forward. If they want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win 4 out of 6 here. So like, you're going to have to beat everyone, basically beat everyone but the Bills on your schedule. And so that's tough to do, right? But I think that playing a good game and keeping it close here against the Bills, and maybe even having a shot late in the fourth quarter to win the game, you know, gives you that opportunity. And so, and kind of sets you off on the right path. I do think, you know, I'd take the Patriots plus 4.5, but again, I'm taking the Bills money line. I just think the Bills are too good. And ultimately, even if the Patriots can keep it close, I just think, like, look at last week when, you know, the Bills go down, but the game gets tied with 28 seconds left and the Bills drive down the field and kick a field goal. So it's just like, they have the ability to do that at any moment. Right. And so, the Patriots do not. They do not. And maybe it's in the punt return game, maybe. But like, you know, outside of that, they don't have big plays, right? And so it's going to have to be a muck it up game. And the Patriots, I hope, can keep it close. But ultimately, I can't pick them to win. I just feel like that's not happening.
Take the over. The Bills are going to blow these boys out. I'm joking. All right, Pat, let everybody know where they can find your content. I'm going to be kicking it with you in a half hour, right?
Yes.
So what we got going on?
That's right. So Pat's Pulpit is our podcast feed. We have actually tomorrow morning coming out on the podcast feed. We did an interview with Mac Jones about My Claws, My Cleats. So he's on talking about, you know, the Boys and Girls Club and about all that stuff, which is great. And then, of course, we'll have Spence on there tonight live on the YouTube channel over at Pat's Pulpit. You can follow me at @PLane_Pats for any stuff on Twitter. I'm also, if you people out there are teachers, or like math, I have a math related TikTok at Mr. Lane Math on TikTok. If you want to come follow me and see some funny math videos, so doing a lot of things today.
All right. Well, shout out to my man Pat Lane and everybody over at Pat's Pulpit. SB Nation has one of the best umbrellas of talent across the entire league and basketball and all these other sports as well. So, Pat, thank you, man. I'll be tuned in with you. Did you send me the link? Hit me up, man.
I will.
All right. Yep. Appreciate you, man. And then Liv, thank you so much for coming and hanging with us. My girl Heather just said, Liv, you need to come back. Enjoy having
I'll
you
be
here.
Back. I'll be yeah, back we're for gonna, sure. As we come sure. closer and closer to playoffs, I'll come do like a check-in. How is our futures bet looking so far type of episode? And I'll come hang out with you guys. I'm very honored to be here. Happy to join you, talk some football. You know, I'm always talking football. So I'm just happy we could make it work with our crazy schedules.
All right, so we're going to get on out of here, but let everybody, obviously, they should be, if you're not following Liv, something's wrong. Go follow Liv, check out her content. She has amazing stuff. She does, actually, let them know about your show. You actually just started, maybe, I think, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you just started a new pod that you do post-game. Why don't you let everybody know about that really quickly?
Yeah, so I've got a lot of different hats I feel like I wear, but that's what keeps my life very fun and interesting. On all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm big on TikTok right now. I've been doing those. It's at Liv Moods. My real name is Olivia Moody, but at Liv Moods on everything. That's kind of my stage name now. Every week that the Broncos play, I will have a show that goes live on the Volume Sports Instagram with former offensive lineman Orlando Franklin, where we talk all things Denver Broncos. We will have a special former Broncos player guesting as well very, very soon. We just found that out today. So we do that every week on the Volume Sports YouTube. I have a gambling show that I do twice a week on the Volume Sports YouTube called The Best Gambling Show Ever. I have a Monday night live stream with FanDuel that I do on their Twitch and YouTube, just kind of talking Monday night football and hanging out. So I have a little bit of everything. Best thing to do is just follow me on all socials at Liv Moods, and you'll see my stuff. And I'll keep cranking out fun content and having a good time. That's what I'm all about. So.
She's super dope, y'all. There's a reason why at the top of the show I said I'm a fan. It's the truth. I'm a
You're
fan.
The best.
So, Liv, thank you so much. Enjoy
thank
the rest
you.
Of your week. Tell Colin I said what's up. I've been trying to
I
get
will.
Out.
I will. I will let him know, and you hit me up whenever you want me back on here, and we'll make it happen.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how I do it over here with the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast and Podcast Network. Y'all love each other. Take care of each other and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.
Code of conduct.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.